Welcome to the Top 5 Podcast with your hosts, Rail Bricker and Lindsay Adams.
Welcome back. Our special guest today comes to us all the way from London. He works with leaders on both sides of the Atlantic. His name is Julian Harris. Welcome, Julian.
Hi, great to be here.
So let me tell you a little about Julian before we get going. He founded Julian Harris Services, fueled by his vision to make a greater impact, and has found his purpose in working with business leaders looking to change the world. He's got 20 years' experience as a commercial lawyer, working for some big brands, Nike, Twining, Sports Direct, Asda, Manchester United, and Primark. And he brings his experience of advising major corporations from a legal perspective into his leadership coaching. He's passionate about helping business owners and leaders become the best version of themselves, drawing out their gifts even when their clients can't see those gifts for themselves. A rare talent indeed. So today we're here to talk about the top five tips for how leaders can increase their performance, creativity, and well-being. Julian, tip number one, what have you got for us?
All right. So tip number one, understand that our experience is created from our thinking and not from external circumstances. So what do I mean by that? I think there's a kind of a common misunderstanding among many people, myself included, until I learned about this a few years ago, that the way we live our lives is kind of determined by what's happening out there, right? So for example, I don't know, Lindsay, you might have an argument with Rail, and you're feeling angry, you're feeling upset, you're feeling frustrated. And you blame the argument. You blame what was said between you. You blame Rail. But actually,
it's his fault.
Yeah, it's always his fault, I know. But actually what's going on is the feelings that you're feeling are being generated because of what you're thinking. Not because of what happened, because of how you are processing it. The story that's running in your head. And we can apply this to absolutely everything in our lives. From business, from leadership, to relationships.
So really what you're saying is when leaders that you work with tell you how bad business is because of, you know, external factors, yes, they may be affecting their business, but they heap it on external things and not anything they're doing themselves.
There's definitely an element of that. I agree. I mean, I think in any walk of life, we are partly responsible for what happens in our life. It's very easy to blame external circumstances and not look inward. And that's the work I do with my clients. It's very much looking inward, kind of what responsibility do my clients play in the results that they're getting or not getting from business?
Okay. So now that they've done that and they've used, you know, they've worked with you as a leadership coach, that kind of segues beautifully into your second tip for how leaders can increase their performance, creativity, and well-being.
Yeah, you don't have to do it all yourself. Create a support network around you. I think there's, I don't know if you share this, but kind of growing up, there is a story that we all believe that whatever we're trying to build, we have to do it by ourselves. And I think it goes all the way back to education, the education system. You know, we're set a homework task. And if you ask someone for help, if you get one of your mates to help you, that's cheating. And I think this narrative continues. And I think, I don't know. I don't have any evidence to back this up. I think it's an intuition, but I think it's more prevalent in men as well. There's a certain machismo, whatever it is, that men, when, you know, building a business, you've got to do it by yourself. And I think that's really counterproductive. So one of the pieces of advice I give my clients, I give everybody, is create a support system around you. Ask for help. You know, men are not very good at asking for help. I think it's seen as a sign of vulnerability. Vulnerability for many men equals weakness. For me, it's the opposite. Showing yourself as vulnerable is absolutely a strength.
How do we find these people? It's a bit fearful to ask someone. How do we identify the right person to help?
Yeah, that's a great question. There will be people in your network that may not be able to help directly, but they will know someone that knows someone. And one of the best questions, I think, or one of the best phrases is, don't ask how, ask who. Who can help you? And I think it's fantastic on any journey for leaders, if you can have leaders at the same stage as you on the journey in other businesses, for example, in other industries, or in the same industry, have people who are ahead of you on the journey too, so that you can learn from them. They can perhaps be a mentor to you. And also have people that are behind you on the journey for you to be able to share your wisdom, your learnings, and also to see for you how far you've come. I think that's really important, because we're all so focused on, you know, the thing over there, the goal out there, but we forget how far we've come. And that change in perspective, I think, is super valuable.
I think the comparison thing, you know, we trip ourselves up at times, don't we? Looking forward, going, oh my goodness, I'll never be as good as that person there.
Yeah.
In reality, if we look back, we go, actually, gee whiz, I have come a long way. That's a really important point.
It is. And I think it's for leaders, for my clients, for anyone that's listening and watching, to do that intentionally, for yourself and for your team. Periodically, once every quarter, once every 6 months, get together and list all your wins in the last 6 months, in the last quarter, all your achievements, all your successes, right? Instead of looking at the gap between where you are and where you want to be.
Yeah, yeah. I like it. Okay, well, let's move on now to tip number 3 in how leaders can increase their performance, creativity, and well-being.
Yeah, this is self-care. And for me, it's a non-negotiable. Many people listening might be entrepreneurs, might be leaders leading a super busy life. And often the first thing that goes, you're trying to fit in all the meetings. The first thing that goes is looking after yourself. And if any of my clients are watching now, and they'll be rolling their eyes in what I'm about to say, because I say this all the time. Think about, you know, when you've been on a plane journey and they give the safety briefing and they talk about the oxygen mask that comes down, and they always say, fit your own oxygen mask first before helping others. And that's, for me, that's an amazing metaphor for business and for life. You've got to look after yourself first. Because if you don't, then you can't look after your business in the best way, your family, your kids, your partner. So it needs to be scheduled in. That's my tip. That's my advice. Be really rigorous about your timetable. Go on, Ryle.
It's really humorous what you're saying about, you know, fit your oxygen mask, because I've noticed that since COVID and the world has opened back up again,
yeah.
Every time I'm on an airplane, they say, you know, and in case you've decided to wear a regular mask, you know, a mask, you know, while traveling, please remove it before putting on your oxygen mask. And I'm thinking, you know, I would have kind of assumed that was a given, but somebody in the airlines have decided we have to tell people to remove their masks, you know, just a bit.
I would also hope that the oxygen can penetrate through a mask anyway. I'm not sure what the need to take that mask off is, but there you go. I've never heard that before. Maybe that's an Australian thing.
Well, it certainly happens in Australia. And the first time I heard it, I thought, yeah, kidding me. But anyway, there's no accounting for the level of intelligence of some people.
So we've now taken self-care to another level. We've put it in our diary every day. Hit us up. Tip number 4.
This is, I call it the courage, capability, confidence triangle. Now, what does that mean? You might be wondering.
Oh, yeah. What does that mean?
So we all are faced in our journeys with doing something for the first time. And And that even may be starting a business. And that, so then the question is, well, how do I do that? I don't feel very confident about doing that. I don't know what I'm doing. And you get lost in this kind of paralysis and procrastination. But what happens? So the first step is always to take a leap. That's the courage part of it. And what you find is when you take that leap, it might not go particularly well, whatever it is you're doing, but you gain a little bit of, you've done it before, you gain a little bit of experience, a little bit of capability. And with that capability comes confidence. And with that confidence comes courage to do it again. And so the more you continue to practice that triangle, the more capable you become, the more confident you become. And in fact, to the point where you don't need courage anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think it's kind of the small step theory, isn't it? You take a little step, you take another little step, you take another little step, and suddenly you get more and more confidence, and you take bigger steps, and then you start running, and you know, before you know it, you're doing amazing things.
That's right. I believe human beings are built for growth. We're like elastic bands, you know, we're built to be stretched. But it takes two things. It takes a mentality to want to do that, to want to put yourself out of a comfort zone. But then action is also required, as you say, Lindsay, small steps. And the more small steps you do when you're trying to do something for the first time, the more you become capable and confident about doing it.
So, Julian, I wonder, have you got a tip for someone who's standing on the precipice about to take their first small step and they're just fearful? How do they actually convince themselves it's okay to do this?
I had a great story about this, and it involved jumping off a big cliff. I can't remember the guy's name, so forgive me for that, but he was in a group of people, and every one of them had the courage to jump off the cliff until he was the last one. And he was teaching there on the precipice, to use your words, Lindsay. And eventually he just said to himself, he made a decision. He was going all in. He made a decision and he made a commitment to himself that he was going to do it. And for me, that's the key. You make a commitment to yourself to do the thing that you're scared to do.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think you used a word there that was quite interesting, and that's yourself, the intrinsic motivation as opposed to the extrinsic, being told you can do it as opposed to actually believing you can do it yourself. So rounding it out now, what is tip number 5 for how leaders can increase their performance, creativity, and well-being?
So we're going to get a little bit spiritual here. So what I believe is that every single human being on the planet, we all have what I call a little bit of divine light within us. And that divine light, that's the source of love, wisdom, connectedness, resilience. There's a longer list of qualities. And that's who we all are at our core. But we get in our own way. And the kind of the human operating system that I was talking about in my first tip about the thought creates our experience, our thinking often gets in our way. Every now and again, there'll be, you know, you might have been wrestling with a particular problem and you go for a walk on the beach or you go for a walk in the forest, and that the idea comes to you, the answer comes to you. Or you might see an incredible sunset or your children and you're overwhelmed with love. That's kind of the divine light that's shining through. But we get in our own way through the story that we tell ourselves, the judgments that we make about ourselves and about other people. And we are so judgmental. We are so judgmental. It's in our nature. And so my tip is look for those moments where that almost beyond thought, where you become very, very present, where you're able to slow your thinking down. And the metaphor I use is like the thoughts are clouds that are obscuring the moon. And when those clouds part and you can see the moon, that's when those qualities shine through.
So, Julian, do you think that this has kind of been beaten out us by the education system? You know, I think, you know, kids go to school, they're creative, they're dreamers, they're whatever, but they're made to fit into a mold and they're kept within the confines of education. And, you know, you're not allowed to daydream, you're not allowed to gaze out the window and, you know, whatever, whatever. Do you think that's, you know, one of the reasons that, that people struggle to do this now?
Two things are going on. One is the way we're built, the way we're wired is that from a certain age, 6, 7, 8, then we start kind of layering on experience and the kind of the beliefs of our parents and the figures of authority. And slowly those kind of layers of judgments are built up that so that they obscure what I'm talking about. But you were also right, Lindsay. And one of my long-term aims is to try and change the education system in this country and maybe more broadly so that subjects like the one I'm talking about now are taught in schools. The education system, I think is outdated right now. It's not always fit for purpose, right? And it doesn't teach us how to be good human beings, how to live a life of kind of love and creativity and connectedness. I want to see the curriculum changed so that schools, this becomes an intrinsic part of what's taught in schools.
We could do with a whole lot more love in the world at the minute with all the crazy wars that are going on.
Yes, we could.
Julian, one of my jobs on this podcast is to keep us to time, and we are almost out of time, my friend. Should our listeners want to get in touch with you and explore more of your work or maybe seek some guidance from you, what's the best way for them to contact you?
Yeah, a couple of ways. One is there's a website I have, which is lonelyatthetop.co.uk, lonelyatthetop.co.uk. But I say to everyone as well, feel free to email me. So my email is julian@juliankharris.co.uk. And that's a great way to start a conversation with me.
Thank you very much, Julian Harris from London in United Kingdom. This is Rail Bricker from Perth, Western Australia, thanking my co-host, Lindsay Adams from Brisbane, Australia, and signing off for another edition of the Top 5 podcast.